Acknowledge me.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
I am Vaughn Johnson.
Who?
Smile at you and kick your face off.
I'm feeling that.
You got me mad now.
You know, you got a vibe tickle.
Feeling good.
All the skeptics and all the people have a little bit of...
Let me do this again. Oh, it's live, Hal. Sorry.
I love Virgil. I was like, yes. Like, this guy's awesome.
Who's riding a bicycle in this arena?
With my man, Pots and Pants, Nick McCone.
That's me.
All you humanoids, get ready.
I don't know what the kid is that was riding it, but he ain't on it when they brought it to the ring.
This gets a man! And I have passed the brain to Dee.
But I don't like it when things aren't going my way.
Don't you dare be sour!
I ain't got to know about wrestling.
Can't challenge me. He don't know nothing else.
You know that wrestling.
Right, he know that wrestling, bull. And he was about to hop over the table. What?
You want achy, break your heart? You want to be fit? Boom! No sleep, no food, no nothing. Just maniacism.
You got to want it, man.
Give me a hell yeah. I said give me a hell yeah.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen, out there, and welcome to the first episode of the Still Shooters of the year 2023. We're now going on calendar year 8 of the Still Shooters, episode 349, here to kick off 2023. I'm your host, Vaughn Johnson of the Philadelphia Inquirer, and I'm joined as always by my main man, Pots and Pants, Nick McCone, the Philly influencer, and Fox PHL, the gambler. And for one, we're happy you're rocking with us for another year here at the Straight Shooters, and we have yet another fantastic show ahead of us here on episode 349. Of course, how else would you kick off the new year without, you know, except by having another fantastic episode of the Straight Shooters? It is not a deep dive. It is a prediction show. We won't keep y'all for too long with our predictions here, see? But we got a lot of stuff going on in January. We're going to talk about it in a second. But yes, we're going to do our predictions for the year of 2023. Just a quick... a little scheduling note moving forward. In January, we will have deep dives coming back. We'll have a deep dive on the 1997 Royal Rumble and the 2017 Royal Rumble. Both of those, of course, took place in the Alamo Dome back in the day. So we'll deep dive into those, and we'll have another deep dive or two at the end of the month as well. Of course, we're going to talk all about the Royal Rumble and other stuff as the weeks leading up to it. Exciting times in pro wrestling. We're going to talk all about it. But before we get into our predictions for this show, which were all messed up by Vince McMahon and his shenanigans, I got to do my weekly check with my main man, Pots and Pans, Nick McCone. How you doing, my good brother?
I guess I'm doing all right. I mean, we were bombarded. We were all ready for this prediction show. I have a whole list of predictions that I just throw out the window. Throw out the window, because Vince McMahon decided that he wants to come back, take control of WWE. I mean, I guess he's still in control of WWE in terms of majority stake and voting, his voting stake. And, Wall Street Journal dropped the bomb just a few hours ago on this Thursday night, January 5th, 2023, that he's going to come back. And, his whole intention is to sell the company. So don't know what that means for, Triple H, Stephanie, the creative direction of the company, because, he put out a statement that didn't exactly mention the creative direction if he would be involved in that. Let us hope not, because
right.
It's not like WWE product has been like so much better. Like it got better when Vince left, but it's kind of in a holding pattern until WrestleMania season. You know, that's kind of how it works. But you had War
Games.
That's
kind of now, right? That's kind of now. It's like it's coming out of that. It got to ramp up a little bit more before the Rumble.
Yeah, I think the good part, obviously SummerSlam happened like right after Vince was gone. Then we kind of had like a, fall was fall. As usual in WWE, nothing really big happens. But they brought back War Games. That was a lot of...
Yeah, they brought back War Games. I thought Bray Wyatt coming back was big,
Bray Wyatt, yeah.
I thought that was big. I mean, it's okay now, but it was big when it happened.
It was. Like a couple moments, but, we, it's me specifically... I love when the calendar turns in WWE land to 2023, because then you got the build to the Rumble and then to Mania. And, you know, it's just a fun time. And I was really looking forward to the creative direction of Triple H this season. So we'll see, you know, what happens with that. But yeah, man, like these, I had, let me count 10 bold predictions of mine in 2023 for wrestling. And I don't even know if, you know, half of them might be out the window by now.
I mean, look, you just had to have them with an asterisk. Like, if Vince stays away from creative control, don't give him the book. And these things might happen. We can't give him the pencil back, man. And that's the thing. That's the thing from what the news broke today, is that Vince McMahon is positioning, because he is the majority stakeholder on the board, positioning himself to take back over the board of directors in WWE so he can lead the charge for the sale of the company, which is like almost kind of like, from a fan standpoint, people are like, oh man, Vince could be back in control. That's not good. But we got to understand something of probably of definitely a much larger magnitude, is that WWE will potentially be sold to someone not named McMahon. Which would represent a seismic shift in the industry. Okay, let's not understate that, because the business has been run pretty much by McMahon, a McMahon, since the early '80s, right? And I know WCW had their run, you know, in the '90s, even the late '80s, you know, NWA and stuff like that. Crockett, Jim Crockett Promotions had their run, but even back then, everybody knew the big show was New York, and that was run by McMahon. So we're talking 40 plus years potentially. I mean, I'll give the NWA is running, you know, from the 30s on to the 70s at least, right? I'll give you that. But like, once the 80s hit, it was really WWF that kind of took over, obviously, with Hulk Hogan. Point is, this company not being in McMahon hands, or at least at the tippy top, because obviously, you know, Triple H could be in control of creative, and Steph can be in control of certain things, and Nick Khan could be in control of, you know, other business ventures and whatnot. But at the tippy top, making the decision is not, it won't be a McMahon. That would be, that's a big deal, bro. Like, a massive deal. And I don't know if there's been any rumors. I haven't been on the Twitter that much since I've been, you know, since I stopped work. I had to go pick up my kid and stuff like that. But I don't know if there's any rumors as potential buyers out there who'd be interested. You can imagine a company of WWE's size, it would be some heavy hitters, because WWE is worth a couple, multiple billions of dollars. Like, their tape library went for like $1 billion, right, to Peacock. So you got to think that some conglomerate, like a Disney, like a Comcast, like an NBC Universal, who they're already, you know, television partners with, maybe Fox, who they're already television partners with, big, massive conglomerates of that size and magnitude could afford WWE. WWE is a publicly traded company, all right? Big deal. So that will be obviously very, very interesting as time goes on. But Vince being back in charge, yikes. Just like you said, hope that he's just nowhere near the creative. Now, again, this is only potential. This is not set in stone. This is not for certain. Apparently, according to Variety, the WWE board, and this is from their story, that he has they have responded to McMahon and saying they would, quote, initiate a review process and would welcome working with him on it, but asked that he, quote, confirm his commitment to repay expenses incurred by WWE related to an investigation of the allegations, and requested that he agreed not to return to the company during government probes of the matter. So pretty much saying, run us our money, Vince. You owe us that money because you was out here fighting with subordinates and you's being investigated by the government, like, because you took money from a publicly traded company and was paying people off. That's against the law. So, yeah, pay us our money back. And I forget, it was in the millions. I forget how many millions it was.
I believe 12 million.
Okay.
At the very least.
But
the number I heard.
Yeah, so this is not set in stone just yet. But knowing who we're talking about here, he's probably got the path to victory set in his favor, knowing who we're dealing with here, and Vince McMahon, who doesn't take losses lightly.
Yeah, and who knows if while he was away from, you know, the day-to-day WWE operations, if he wasn't, you know, making a business deal on the side and be like, hey, know, I'm going to use my power to get back into WWE and then sell it to you. It's like,
isn't that illegal?
Of course, it's probably illegal, but
not really making deals, but like talking to people, like, it's going to happen.
When this happens, then I'll, you know, you can get this. When this happens, you get that. Like, I don't know, man. He's so sneaky and.
He's like, if I can't run it, then I don't even want it no more.
Yeah, like the literal NWO promo from 2002 where he's going to inject a lethal dose of poison. Like, get out of here with that reality.
He really is doing it. Lethal dose. He's going to turn around and the chair's going to say Comcast on the back. Just some major conglomerate, whatever one you want to think of, just put it in. Disney, and I'm like, oh no!
I'm sure there are plenty of memes of that out there at this point.
There should be,
like, you know, Disney, Fox.
The chair should
NBC
have
a Universal,
right? The chair should have one of the locals on it. He said, if I can't own it, then I can't. I don't even. If I can't run it, I don't even want it no more.
Elon Musk,
pretty much, like, man, that's wild. Jeez. That's wild stuff. So, yeah, we had all these predictions set up for 2023, not knowing that Vince McMahon could potentially take back over.
I even took the time to type them up.
Look at
when that. When we do, like, predictions, sometimes I just handwrite it. Like, I put, you know, a week's effort into these predictions.
Vince, look at what you've done.
Seriously.
This is on you, Vince. That ink is on your hands.
Now I gotta, you know, look at this paper and just laugh at it.
Crazy.
I just laugh at it.
Crazy. Before we get into our discussion for 2023, we got to kind of mention a couple of sad things real quick before we get into these predictions. For one, the big story in, like, sports in general is Damar Hamlin from the Bills and his critical injury that happened Monday night. That was an unreal scene to see play out in live television. I actually was watching the game when it happened.
Yeah.
I think I stuck with it through a commercial break, came back. He was still being obviously worked on. I switched to Raw. I'm like, okay, this is taking a while. Switched to Raw, switched back. They're still delaying the game. It's like, okay, something's really wrong here. And then I go on Twitter and see like the players' faces and stuff like that. It's like, okay, what's happening? And then you find out that he was administered CPR on the field. Real scary. But it sounds like he's got all of his mental faculties intact. Cognitive abilities and stuff like that. I don't know physically where he's at, but they said that he can move move some of his extremities. He's awake. He can communicate a little bit. So that's good. He's made some progress. So shout out to Damar Hamlin for that. It's going to be, and all the people that came out and supported his toy drives too. That was pretty cool.
Yes.
Including Chris Jericho, who donated $5,000. Spelled his name wrong. Spelled his name wrong and then donated another $5,000. With his name spelled right. So that was kind of cool. I would have just edited it. Like, oh, I'm going to spell my name right this time.
Right, yeah.
Because there's an edit button here. Chris gave another $5. So that was cool.
Yeah.
But, go ahead.
I have, you know, two screens in my office. I watch Raw on one and usually Monday Night Football on mute on the other. And, you know, I don't pay much attention to it. And the game had just started. You know, Bengals-Bills is going to be a big hyped game. I expected to actually watch more of that than Monday Night Raw that night.
Same.
So when it started, you know, I kind of wait to get into it, maybe like second quarter, halftime. And then I'll like kind of focus on that over Raw once Raw starts, you know, being bad. And, you know, I saw like a lot of commercials and then they came back and, you know, I saw on Twitter as well, because, you know, I peruse Twitter and, you know, people reacted in real time to when it actually happened. It was like, oh, that's terrible. That looks terrible. So I'm obviously thinking, okay, maybe he, you know, rolled an ankle and, you know, his bone snapped or something like that, those are the kind of things you see on Twitter when something like that happens. Like, oh my God, like, don't show the replay. You know, so I turned back and I usually DVR, you know, the Monday Night Football game. And you know, I turned back to it on my other screen, put the sound on and rewound it because it was in a commercial. I was like, oh, well, like, I didn't expect to see that he made a tackle. Damar Hamlin made a tackle, stood up and just collapsed. And, you know, I saw that and they showed the replay, I think twice. And I was like, holy shit, I can't see this anymore. So I went live with it and I just put it on mute and just praying, you know, like I'm a, you know, a spiritual guy. You know, I said a few prayers for Damar that night and, you know, the next few days. And thankfully today we got the best news from, you know, since Monday night that he was communicating, able to squeeze, you know, his family's hands and able to communicate by writing. You know, apparently the first thing he wrote was, you know, who won the game. So
that
showed his mental faculties were still intact, you know. Speaking of which, you know, what about...
Like, bro, come on. Right. You won, like the doctor said, you won, apparently, because you're still alive, bro. Like,
right, yeah.
That's the first thing on his mind. He probably like, what happened? Like, can you imagine waking up and you're like, who won? They're like, what? No, the game didn't end, Damar, because you almost died on the field, man. Like, that's legit what happened, though. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, and he, you know, just watching that and seeing, obviously, the player reactions and stuff like that. And I was still watching it on mute just because I was hoping everything would be okay. Like, maybe we see him give the thumbs up at some point before he went in the ambulance. And I was just kind of, you know, I still had Raw, the sound on. And they kept going back to the studio on Monday Night Football on ESPN with, you know, Adam Schefter, you know, Booger McFarland and Susie Colbert. And it was just, like, so surreal.
Yeah, it was wild.
So I started paying more attention to that and just hoping that we would get a, you know, a positive update. And we didn't that night. We didn't really get any update other than the fact that he was taken to the hospital. And I think Stephon Diggs, you know, went there and he had to be let in because a reporter had to vouch for him that he was his teammate and stuff like that. So
that's a wild situation.
It's just crazy. Like ESPN all night, I had a hard time falling asleep because, you know, when you see something like it's different if you didn't. If you just shut off all communication and you didn't realize that happened, like you wake up Tuesday morning and just be like, oh crap. But like you see that play out Monday night in real time and
yeah, it was,
you have a hard time, you know, it was moving past that.
Definitely shaking a little bit, like watching it, just like, whoa. Like,
yeah.
And then you're just waiting for some type of word and it was a little anxiety inducing for a little while there, but it's good that here a couple of days later that we got some positive news and that he's taking a turn for the better. So shout out to Damar Hamlin and his family. So yeah, hopefully he can get back to some semblance of a normal life again. And you know, after that, not even thinking about football at this point.
Right.
Who cares about that?
And hopefully, you know, if he is, you know, awake and understanding everything, maybe someone had mentioned about his toy drive by now, or maybe they'll surprise him with it. You know, when he's awake without the breathing tube or whatever, and be like, hey, by the way, your tour drive that whose goal was 2,500 and is now 7.5 million. You know, like
that's crazy.
That's just got to make him feel great. You know, hopefully, when if he's been told, you know, by now, or if he'll be told eventually, but that should definitely make him feel good.
Yeah. Other sad news. This is more sad. This is actual loss of life in this case with Don West, the legendary announcer, formerly of Impact Wrestling, passed away last week. And yeah, I remember Don West, man. He got a lot of love on Twitter, which he deserved. Mm-hmm. And I always liked Don West. I always thought Don West was a really good announcer. He brought a lot of excitement to the calls. Like, he just brought like an energy to announcing that not many people had, especially when big things happen, big moments happen, when that Elix Skipper spot happened when on top of the cage. Don West lost his mind, and it was great. It added to that moment. It was multiple calls that Don West had that added to moments in TNA that wouldn't have felt as big if he didn't call it.
That moment when Elix Skipper did that Hurricanrana was one of the biggest moments of my TNA fandom. You know, I was just getting into it. I think it was like late 2005, maybe it was 2006. And, you know, I was taping these pay-per-views. I was taping the weekly shows. I think they were on our version of Comcast Sportsnet, but it was actually Fox Sportsnet and syndication. So they were on there before they went to Spike TV. And whenever it would come on at like a crazy hour or two, you know, like 11 p.m. on like a Saturday or a Thursday or Friday, something like that, something crazy where, you know, if you didn't really know the wrestling schedule and you weren't paying attention, you would miss it. But they also had, you know, on the TV, they would have like the match, like the names of the people in the match and the time duration of it. I thought that was really cool. And we just he did, like, I didn't like Mike Tenay as the main play-by-play guy in TNA, but, you know, looking back, they could have done a lot worse, and Don West and him just played off each other beautifully.
They were a great
team. In an era of TNA that probably was its best era in company history.
I mean, it was.
You know, it
definitely was.
The matches were great. It really was, I thought, WCW reborn in a way, you know, had a lot of ex-WCW talent. The rings were very similar to the whole presentation was very similar to WCW. And of course, you had Jeff Jarrett and AJ Styles. Sting came in, and it just had that feel for me a bit. And I don't know, man. Like, the announcing can do so much for a company like that, too, that's just trying to compete with WWE at that point. And they came the closest, you know, since before AEW. You know, TNA was the closest. They just kind of had some self-sabotage going on there for, you know, after this whole, back in like, what, 2012 to 14, 15, 16. So before that, you know, Mike Tenay and Don West were the voice of TNA forever. And, yeah, I thought, again, not huge on Mike Tenay, but I really like Don West playing off him well. And I was like, yeah, man, put Don West with somebody else, because, like, it might even be better. But, you know, I've come to appreciate it way more now in 2023 than I did back then.
Yeah, I always enjoyed Don West as a broadcast. And I thought, again, Tenay and West as a team, were I thought they were great together. And let's not forget, Don West was also a great pitch man on, like, the Home Shopper Network type network and stuff like that. But, yes, he passed away last week at the age of 59. Let's also send some condolences to Dustin Rhodes, whose mother passed away. Yeah. Recently, and so, and they mentioned AEW Dynamite last night. As we record this here on Thursday, Dynamite was last night, but they mentioned it on the broadcast, and they also mentioned Justin Roberts' mother being hospitalized as well, and he has missed the last couple of weeks of television. So shout out to Justin Roberts and his family, hoping everything works out with his mother. And again, our condolences to Dustin Rhodes, whose mother just recently also passed away. Now we must make the awkward transition to our predictions for the year of 2023. Nick, are you ready to go?
Sure, why not?
All right. Well, what's your first prediction for the year 2023?
Oh, man. So I won't go in order, but I'll go with the one that kind of fits into today's narrative of Vince McMahon coming back to head, you know, I don't know if he, I guess he's going to head negotiations, you know, with the next media rights deal. And I had written that, yeah, WWE has a good relationship with NBC and Fox now with SmackDown. But I had written, and, you know, we'll see if this comes to fruition, that ESPN will, and I know there are a lot of them are under the same umbrella, but, where you will be able to find these shows, you know, on cable. I think ESPN will make a big bid for Raw and SmackDown. I like the idea of having both shows on separate networks, especially one, you know, Fox, that, you know, it makes it feel like, okay, John Cena and Kevin Owens versus Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn was a bleh match. Like, it was fun and the hype was exciting. But if you really go back to it, I was expecting huge storyline advancement and didn't happen. It was just a regular old match where, you know, the babyfaces got the win. Okay, whatever. But, you know, that was a huge rating for Fox. And, you know, I expect more of that. I don't know if, you know, the fact that it was on Fox that kind of, like, made that decision, or if they would do the same thing if it was on USA. But seeing WWE programming on ESPN is something that I think is not as not realistic as it was maybe 5 years ago. Of course, they were in the running for SmackDown a few years ago. And Raw, I believe. I believe both were up. I think Raw signed with NBC Universal, and then SmackDown went with Fox. It could have been, you know, SmackDown first and then Raw second. I don't remember exactly. But But ESPN was in those discussions, and I think they will bid big for Raw and SmackDown. Now, I wrote Raw or SmackDown, but I think we're gonna get those stories this year, probably of front runners for WWE programming that's up, you know, next year. And I think wasn't like a year in advance that we knew SmackDown was going to Fox before it actually comes. So
they definitely announced that in 2018 to go to go into effect in 2019.
Yeah, so this is definitely going to be a big newsworthy year when it comes to WWE's rights, TV rights. So yeah, I expect ESPN to be the big front runner. I think they're going to make headlines. ESPN having WWE at the same time might not happen. Like, I mean, they've got some pretty good partners right now in USA and Fox. It all comes down to the money. So I wonder, you know, if that obviously that is why Vince McMahon is back. So right. I do wonder. I do think ESPN will make some waves.
If, you know, if Disney buys WWE at some point, then ESPN as a television partner for WWE increases exponentially if that happens. I don't know if a sale for WWE will go through by the end of 2023, but I think we'll know who's the front runner for that. I think we'll know who the buyer is. I don't know if this, you know, if everything will be signed and all that stuff, but I think we'll know who a buyer is if Vince gets what he wants out of this. I think he probably will get be leading the negotiations. I think that will probably happen. I think it's more than likely going to happen. And we'll know, I think, by the end of 2023, who's going to be the owner, the new owners of WWE. That's my first prediction for 2023. We will find that out. But to your point, if Disney is the next owner of WWE, then ESPN has to be in play unless TV contracts are locked in. But maybe that's part of the deal. Like, hey, you know, we get a TV deal, you know, popping off. Maybe we can do a full-fledged, you know, sale with Disney, maybe. So, I don't think that's too far-fetched. And I know some people will probably be like, what, ESPN? But look, you know, ESPN is like real sports. They're the worldwide leader of sports, right? They're not going to go to WWE and have air WWE. That'd be sacrilege. No, it's not, because WWE provides... Fox just did it. But Fox, you know, they air all kinds of stuff. They air So You Think You Can Dance. Right? Like, they air mass singers, like FS1, stuff like that.
You know, FS1's the quote-unquote sports station.
But WWE is live content, and that's something that's like gold right now. The television networks, they want live content. That is, live content is the last bastion of hope these networks have up against these streaming platforms. The streaming platforms are starting to creep into the live content territory, though. You look at Amazon with Thursday Night Football. You look at Hulu Plus, YouTube TV. These things are already set up. They already exist, but you know, the networks are still putting out the big money to keep that live TV. And that's what the streaming platforms haven't done quite yet, is put up a billy for a major sport, you know, network package, sports telecast rights deal, I should say. Amazon being the exception, where they paid $1 billion for just Thursday Night Football. They had to put up $1 billion for just Thursday Night Football, which is not on tonight, I don't think. I don't think they have a...
they do not.
Season finale, regular season finale game. So, but that's where the networks, that's what they're clinging to. That's what they have over the streaming platforms, is live content. That's why they're putting out billions of dollars for it. So ESPN is interested in getting more live content. They already got a bunch. Obviously, they got the NBA, they got Monday Night Football, they got college football, they got college basketball, which is ramping up. When it started, obviously, in conference play, just started. They got all the college football bowl games. They got, I think they got baseball playoffs too on there, like for the first round or two.
Yep.
They got a little bit of everything. NBA, obviously, they got NHL back. They even air CFL games sometimes. They're in the live content business, bro. So WWE, which, yes, the numbers and as far as the ratings aren't what they were 20, 25 years ago, but by today's standards are still very good. Like, they still can generate $1 billion for television rights. Their ratings weren't great a couple years ago, and they got $1 billion from two different networks. and their numbers are going down back then, and they're worse today. And they're still going to secure another $1 billion for their television rights at some point in 2023. So, yes, I agree with you on that. That's not that far-fetched. I know it seems crazy that ESPN would air WWE, but ESPN Classic used to air AWA back in the day. Yeah, like ESPN used to air AWA. So it's not like they're like above wrestling. And UWF, right. So it's not like ESPN has never done this before. So, you know, and they've obviously covered WWE on their website and stuff like that. And they've had like television segments and whatnot. So ESPN is in the WWE game pretty much. So it wouldn't be that far-fetched for me. But what's your second prediction for 2023?
I will, before I move to my second prediction, I really, really hope they don't sell rights to exclusive streaming partners, because I can't take that delay, man. You know, you're on Twitter, you're reacting to things in live time with people that have cable, and, you know, they're seeing things a minute or two before you. I can't handle that, man. I just can't. So stay on cable or you know, make cable affordable again, damn it.
Okay. We missed that boat.
I did write this because I do believe we are far away from seeing I don't think we're going to see it as quickly as WrestleMania time. So I don't think Cody Rhodes will become a world champion in 2023. Now, I was like kind of set on that before he got injured. I was like, oh yeah, but by WrestleMania next year, Cody Rhodes is going to be champion. Yeah, he got hurt, but also, you know, do you split the titles yet? What are they going to do with The Rock and Roman? What are they going to do, you know, at the Rumble? Like, what are they going to do? Are they going to split the titles? I don't know, but I now Vince coming back, who knows whether he takes over creative or not, but Cody Rhodes will not become a world champion in 2023, where months ago, before he got hurt, I was like, almost, I would have bet on it. I would have bet on it of him being a world champion in 2023 based on the story and based on how he was presented. But I just don't see that happening right now. You know, you have Roman and possibly The Rock headlining Mania. Like, you can't make Cody an afterthought. If you're going to put the world title on him, he's got to be the story. So I don't see how you can do that unless he goes over Roman at WrestleMania 39 if they don't get The Rock. But that my prediction is that Cody Rhodes will not become a champion.
Well, I have the exact opposite prediction, but more specific. I do think he will become a world champion, but I think he will specifically win the WWE championship. I think
so.
WWE
think split it?
Yes, I think they have. I think they should split it again. I think Roman has had his time as the undisputed champion, and it's great. But I don't know if everybody could carry that mantle with just one title. I think. Especially when you got these two different networks who are paying $1 billion, they want champions on their shows. And I'm sure USA is not the happiest that Roman Reigns almost never appears on their show, even though he's the company's biggest star and he's exclusive to the other network. I'm sure USA would rather not have that be the case. So split the titles up. And I am pro one title. But
you are
business,
you've been beating that drum since 2015.
I have. Oh, since the talk of splitting them up again happened when the new brand split in 2016, I was like, no, don't do it. But business is business. I understand that, especially because they're on separate networks, and this champion does not appear on both shows. If Roman was on both shows, I wouldn't have an issue with keeping the titles together and just consolidating. But since he's not, and it doesn't seem like he's going to be that way in the foreseeable future, okay, because the schedule is getting even lighter as the years have gone on, you got to split the titles back up. The Universal title has been on SmackDown for a while. It's blue. You can keep that on SmackDown. Ugh. Cody Rhodes is technically a Raw superstar. He can win the WWE title and keep that on Raw. And it'd be the first time we've had a world champion on Raw in months. Mm-hmm. Remember, like, I feel like when Brock was champ, the champ was always, he was always on Raw, but he would never show up on SmackDown. Like, it's the opposite right now. The world champ is on SmackDown only. And his cousins is on Raw.
No, they're always on Raw.
You know what I'm saying? They be on Raw doing his dirty work, and he show up on SmackDown. So, I disagree. I think Cody is going to win the world title. They pretty much since he got back, they've been positioning him as a top star. Even when Vince was booking, he was in that spot.
Yeah.
They had him do the update on the recap show at the end of 2022. That don't happen to mid-carders. They provided a specific segment update for Cody Rhodes just because they got plans for him. So he will win, and he specifically will win the WWE Championship. That's my prediction for Cody.
Let me piggyback off that. Do you think that happens at WrestleMania or a bit later in the year?
I mean, there's always been that theory that you could have Roman defend one on each night and he can lose them both, or that's keep rough. One maybe and that's lose the rough. Other. I don't know. I
don't like that.
I don't know if that happens.
But if it's Cody, I don't like that idea, because then he's overshadowed in a way.
I mean,
because then who else is Roman going to defend against? Probably The Rock, right? So
right. I mean, look.
I like him to have his moment, you know what I mean?
Anybody that's on the same card as The Rock is going to get overshadowed.
Yeah.
So Cody
maybe
got overshadowed.
Wait till SummerSlam, right?
What's that?
Maybe you wait till SummerSlam.
I mean, that's possible. That's a long time, though. I guess you could have Roman lose one at WrestleMania. He can keep another until SummerSlam. It'd be, man, that'd be three
could Cody
whole years.
The IC or the US or the interim?
Maybe. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know if they stretch it to SummerSlam. That's a little while from now. But I do think Cody gets this title, gets one of those titles at the end of the year. And I think it could happen to WrestleMania. I'm not totally certain about that. It's still too early to gauge how they're going to do things. And now the big monkey wrench just got thrown in today is Vince McMahon. Is he going to be anywhere near creative? And if he is, will he blow up whatever plans that Triple H has in place?
You know he will.
he'll try. He's torn up.
Fire William Regal again.
Right. He'll refire everybody. He'll definitely tear up a script at the last minute before Raw. So he'll take it to the next level this time. Destroy the WrestleMania script. So who knows? But in my mind, Cody's getting one of those titles. That's just what's going to happen. In my opinion, it's going to be the WWE Championship specifically. In my mind, do you have another prediction, my good sir, for 2023?
Here's a saucy one.
Ooh, saucy.
Brock Lesnar
is
not, at least as of now, from what I could find on the internet, where everything is true, his deal with WWE expires this year. Early 2023 is what I heard. So possibly it's through WrestleMania. So Brock might be a free agent. You know, come summertime. I could definitely see, as a one-off, I'm not saying he's going to sign with AEW. As a one-off, I could see Brock Lesnar being in a Forbidden Door match.
That would be, wow, that's a bold
prediction.
Wouldn't
that be wild?
Right there.
It'd be
so
wild.
So do we have an idea of when his contract expires in 2023?
I believe, you know what? No.
Okay.
There's a site I was on that had a lot of stuff based on reports and whatever. So nothing really concrete I could find of when they expire. But I, you know, for Brock's name, I think it was itnwwe.com. Was the it's like a site, international site. It's not a U.S. site. And it had Brock, his deal was expired early 2023. So, and it was, I think it was, he re-signed what, 2021, and it was like for 8 matches or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, and I, you know, I could have done my research and put the numbers and stats together, but I didn't.
Go figure,
you know. It's a new year, new me. I don't do shit. No, I could totally see Brock just, you know, at the time I made these predictions, Vince McMahon was out of the picture as well. And we heard those reports that day at SmackDown that Brock was supposed to show up, or at SummerSlam, that he walked out. He was supposed to show up on SmackDown, right? And he walked out. And I thought it was all like kind of just a plan to be like, hey, listen, like, I'm Brock Lesnar. I can do what I want. They're going to give me the money. They're not going to mess up their Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar SummerSlam main event. Let me just ask for more money. And we made the joke that, okay, part of that deal was him getting to use that tractor. So
throwing the tractor and I'm there.
So, you know, I'm thinking Vince McMahon's, you know, completely out of the picture. And, So Brock could kind of, you know, he was kind of married to Vince almost. Like, oh, Vince, right. Vince goes, I go. Like, we heard all that jargon,
yeah,
you know, online. So maybe less so now if Vince is in the picture day to day, that Brock will actually, you know, consider a forbidden door match. Or, I mean, he's a businessman. You know, he could probably use that, be like, hey, just, you know, I'll re-sign with you. Just give me more money than them. And, you know, I'll come back for a few matches. You know, I think his last match was against Bobby Lashley at Crown Jewel. You know, we haven't really seen him since. Mm-hmm. Perhaps we'll see him at the Rumble. You know, who knows? So, but I could imagine Brock Lesnar in an AEW New Japan Forbidden Door pay-per-view.
Whoa, man. That would be
obviously massive. Facing, I don't know if he would face an AEW person or a New Japan person, but I could just, I mean, he would be the headline. He'd be the main, he would have to be the main event, but then Tony Khan probably doesn't want someone like Brock Lesnar main event in one of his shows.
Man, you better. If Brock ain't doing it unless he's in the main event.
That's true. That's true. But like, if Tony can't, unless he has him like locked up, you know what I mean? Like, he probably wouldn't make him the headline. I don't know. I'm not in Tony's mind, but wouldn't that be, if we talk about like what happened with MJF this past year, Brock Lesnar on a Forbidden Door. I just think that's probably the craziest thing I wrote down, honestly. But, well, you know, I mean, without a contract, you know, anything's possible.
It's not that wild when you got Shinsuke showing up in nowhere late in 2022 under WWE contract, I believe, right? Like, he's still,
yeah, he's still
on the WWE contract.
Yeah.
Of course, we got Mercedes Moné, formerly known as Sasha Banks, and showing up at Wrestle Kingdom, which we all knew was going to happen, but it's still, it's the visual, still kind of like, wow, look at that. And she's going to have a match with Kyrie for the title in February in the States. So Brock showing up at Forbidden Door if his contract is up. I think the reports I saw said that I think he's probably going to be with WWE through WrestleMania. But, you know, probably. And then after that, who knows? So, I mean, if he does it, if this were to come to fruition, who does he face?
Honestly, like, that's, I didn't think
biggest,
that one through.
That's a big thing. Like, you give him Samoa Joe, I'd be here for that. But, ooh, like, is Wardlow ready for that type of match? You give him Darby Allin, just let him throw him out the building somewhere? Like, your new TNT champion, just let him throw him across the world?
Maybe
I don't
Tanahashi.
Know. Like,
maybe Okada.
Tanahashi, Okada. I mean, come on. Like, you give him Kenny Omega, who had an early match of the year contender with Will Ospreay. By the way, that's the Kenny Omega that I need. I need the main event singles match Kenny Omega. I don't need trios Kenny Omega. I don't need the Young Bucks. Right? I need main event Kenny Omega. The Kenny Omega we saw at Wrestle Kingdom is a Kenny Omega that's worth dollar signs. All the other stuff, nah, bro. Nah, I need more of the 8-9-star matches he be having in the ring one-on-one, because that's where the money is at. But, again, this is kind of far-fetched, though, Nick. I will give you that. I will give you that.
You didn't expect that.
Also, I'm going to go from one Paul Heyman guy to another Paul Heyman guy.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Of course, we're talking about Chick Magnet Punk over here. He will return to wrestling in 2023. That's my bold prediction. He will not go another 7 years without being a pro wrestling.
Impact Wrestling?
I didn't say where, because I don't know that much. But he will return to wrestling in 2023, in my opinion. It could be AEW for all we know. It could be WWE for all we know. But it could be New Japan. Who knows? CMLL. But he will come back to wrestling in 2023. I don't think he'll go that long without getting back in the ring. He obviously loves it. He's going to heal. He's going to get his body right.
Yeah.
Figure out the situation and then go from there. But I don't think he's just out of the wrestling business for good. I think he'll come back in 2023.
Yeah, I agree with you. One of my predictions was that, you know how MJF says the bidding war of 2024 with him. You know, he loves saying that in his promos. I think we could see the bidding war of 2023, honestly, between AEW and WWE. You know, do I think CM Punk would ever go back to WWE? Obviously, in wrestling, you never say never. It's the carniest business in the world. CM Punk, he's been back for a year, and he's already, like, you know, you can see he's, like, fed up with a lot of politics, you know, backstage. So I don't, maybe with Vince out of the picture, even though he's not, like, you know, we kind of figure he's not Triple H's biggest fan, but and vice versa. But with Vince out of the picture and Triple H obviously in a different mindset now than he was, what, 10 years ago, pretty much, you know, it could be different. You know, business could be different between the two sides. So I do think he's going to return to wrestling. I do think we're going to hear stories about AEW. Like, we don't even know his contract status. We don't know if he really got his release from AEW. We don't know if he's, you know, being held. I don't know if AEW freezes contracts during injuries like WWE does, but, you know, it's all possibility. So I could totally see WWE making a play for him because why wouldn't you? You know, he's still a huge name in wrestling. You could see the effect he had on AEW just, you know, week to week, right, you know, showing up, even if it's just for promo. Yeah.
If AEW didn't exist, they probably wouldn't. But since AEW does exist and it's, you know, right,
yeah,
it's a potential threat, then you'd be like, yeah, we'll snatch him up.
Like, yeah. And even, we'll like, you know, part-time schedule, he doesn't need to be there every week.
Nope.
You know, Brock Lesnar schedule, maybe. Roman Reigns, maybe. You know, don't let him work too much, but have when he shows up, like, be impactful. And I think that would definitely make more people tune back into WWE than, you know, they left in 2014, 2015. So I think we're going to get some crazy stories out of, like, the bidding war for CM Punk.
Yeah, speaking of a bidding war, I'm going to my next prediction real quick. Mercedes Moné, formerly known as Sasha Banks, just showed up in New Japan. We'll have another match in New Japan next month. It's probably going to be in Saraya's partner in AEW on Dynamite. Well, that's the rumor that she, well, you know, even though it was announced that Tony Storm's going to be the partner.
That was so anticlimactic, though. So
Hikaru Shida almost gave a look, though, like, what the hell is this? Right. So there might be that story might not be over yet, right? But Sasha Banks, as far as we know, has not signed a contract with anybody. And she mentioned that she's going on a world tour. I am predicting that she is not signing an exclusive contract in 2023. She will not sign an exclusive contract. She is going to hit as many promotions as she possibly can. She's going to fulfill the wrestler's dream of just being able to wrestle pretty much everywhere, which you usually see, like, a lot of American men being able to do that. They can, you know, AJ Styles ventured out and Chris Jericho ventured out and they did a lot of promotions and whatnot. Cody did it when he first left WWE. Yeah. And especially making that pretty much that wrestling pilgrimage to Japan, right? At least for Americans. Mm-hmm. Sasha's getting to do the same thing. How many women, you know, especially from America, get to do that? So she's taking advantage of something that not many American women get to do these days, at least. Maybe back in the day, Medusa was out here doing her thing, but she wasn't as big a star as Sasha Banks was WWE. No disrespect to Medusa. Alundra Blaze, whatever you want to call her.
Right.
But, yeah, she's going to hit as many promotions as she can, it looks like. And I don't think she's settling down with a home promotion before the end of the year is over. And the same goes for, potentially, I think Naomi is going to do the same thing, honestly. Because why not? They got the money. You know, they paid, and they're going to command a fee for when they show up somewhere. And I'm not talking about, like, just random independents, neither. I'm talking, like, New Japan. I'm talking Stardom. I'm talking, you know, wherever promotion has a women's division, major promotions, maybe Impact is on the table. Like, you know, of course AEW is on the table. Maybe AAA or CMLL is on the table. Who knows? But I think they're going to be bouncing around quite a bit in 2023.
You know what's interesting? A year ago, you would have been like, okay, put Naomi with the Bloodline. That'd be great for her. Right now?
Yeah. I think that'd be great for her.
But I don't think she even needs that. I think she maybe not on the level of Mercedes Moné, but if she were to show up even in AEW as, like, the tag partner, it would be, like, an incredible moment.
The problem is that AEW doesn't promote the women they have on the roster that well. So even though Naomi is a great talent, they might see Mercedes Moné as a more of a priority. But if Mercedes Moné doesn't sign exclusively, then they don't have to worry about booking her. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you kind of sign exclusively, then you got to worry about booking her. But if she doesn't, I think that could be the case with either one. They don't have to worry about booking her on a week-to-week basis like they do at, and kind of fumble with a lot of other people on their women's roster. It's gotten better lately, I will admit that, but the AEW hasn't had a tremendous track record with its women's division.
Yeah, I think just by association with Mercedes, that, you know, if Naomi does like a similar thing, I think it would help her, that in the vein that, okay, she doesn't need the bloodline to kind of up her stock. It's kind of like already up. So maybe she takes advantage of that now before she does a similar thing. Maybe she comes back to WWE, or like, I don't even know if she's still under contract. I think the only report out there was that Sasha was released.
That's true.
Last summer,
and Naomi was at Wrestle Kingdom. So
right, we haven't really heard.
Maybe she's under contract and she's not going anywhere. But
yeah, so everything I just said might be moot.
She might bounce. Right, she might bounce around. This is why we make predictions. We could be wrong, very wrong. But I threw Naomi in there, but I merely meant this for Mercedes Moné. But I'll throw Naomi in there as well. I think she's going to try to bounce. She's going to try to bounce around a little bit. But I still stand on that. Naomi could definitely could fit in the bloodline. What? They don't have any women in the group. They could use that diversity in the group. And it's a legitimate member of the family as well. More so than Sami Zayn. Right? Technically, you know. Talk about honorary. No, she is part of the bloodline now. By the law, she's in there. So.
She's a legal ooze.
Yeah. There you go. Legal ooze. That's funny. That's actually really funny. You have another prediction there, sir, for 2023.
I do. We're going to have a weird jump from WWE to AEW. And I don't know why I thought of this, but I think he'd be a great mouthpiece for a talent, any talent really, at AEW. They love managers, right?
So they've shown that so far, yeah.
I think Montel Vontavious Porter.
Whoa.
MVP is going to find his way to AEW. I don't know who he can manage. I don't know who he could be the mouthpiece for right now, but I enjoy him. He's very, like, I enjoy watching his segments, and I think
he's great.
That's one of those, like, low key moves that, you know, we don't really think about MVP that much, but
no.
Like Stokely Hathaway going to AEW, it was like, kind of didn't expect it. We weren't sure what he was going to do after he was released, because he was doing some of those comedy shows, right? Like kind of stand-up shows. So, but, you know, he's made the most of it. I think MVP would be perfect as a manager, because still, WWE doesn't really do... Paul Heyman's really the only guy that stands out.
And he doesn't even talk like that. Right. He doesn't even talk anymore.
I think MVP... would be, unless obviously the creative direction changes in WWE to where they boost managers the way they did, you know, in the 90s. But I don't see that happening. MVP and AEW is my prediction.
I will say that MVP has been great. I think that if there's one thing you can applaud Vince McMahon for anything in the last couple years, it would have been bringing back MVP as a manager. For Bobby Lashley.
Totally, like, out of left field.
Especially for Vince. Especially for Vince. And MVP, I don't think, has ever managed anywhere. I mean, I know he's wrestled, obviously, a bunch of places, but I don't know if he's ever managed anybody. So, for that was a good idea. But I don't know if you saw on Raw, but it looked like he was trying to reform the Hurt Business in the background there. So we might get a reformation of that group, which I think is timely because of the Bobby Lashley stuff, how that story ended with him and Brock and stuff like that, and who he beat up all the officials and whatnot a couple weeks ago. He got fired. That's what happened. Adam Pearce fired him. That's what happened.
Then he rehired him on a Twitter video.
Oh, he did? Okay, well, he rehired him. I missed that. I did see the Dominic Mysterio from jail, the prison Dom. Hysterical. said jail changed him. He did hard time of like 24 hours maybe.
That is so great. So
with the toothpick, that's classic stuff. So I definitely saw that. But I didn't see the Bobby Lashley thing. But it's a good time to reboot the Hurt Business. It should have never been broken up anyway. Yeah. Bobby Lashley should have had a run as champion while the Hurt Business was still together. Mm-hmm. That would have set the whole thing off. Like, a black champion, and then a black champion with black people around him. Let's go. Like, I know Kofi kind of did that a couple years ago with New Day, but I think, you know, it would have been just as cool with Bobby doing the same thing. But yeah, I think before he gets to AEW, we got to see what happens if they reform the Hurt Business first, and hopefully they get more of a run than they did under Vince McMahon if he stays away from creative, course.
Yeah, it seems like Triple H has gone back to the well a little, like a few times with certain things, which, you know, we'll see if they work out. I think the Hurt Business is one that could absolutely work out, no questions asked, because they were even good under Vince before he decided to. I mean, like, they could have been better. Sure, anything under Vince could have been better.
Just randomly broke them up, though.
Yeah.
Just randomly, before they could even try to improve, if they needed improvement done. It was like
Shelton
and,
Cedric would always eat pins anyway. It's like, well...
But, like, they were tag team champions, and then they split them up and did nothing with Shelton and done nothing with Cedric. And put MVP with Omos. That hasn't really done a whole lot, like...
Yeah, and then, Vince. You know, he's... I mean, I thought that was a good idea if they were going to do anything to put MVP with Omos, but...
I agree with that.
That went nowhere.
That has gone nowhere so far. You mentioned AEW. I got another prediction involving AEW. It's involving a current talent, though, and that is Ricky Starks. 2023 is going to be a year for Ricky Starks. I don't know if you noticed, but homeboy be getting reactions on AEW lately.
He pinned Chris Jericho.
He did pin him just last night. As we record this, pinned him clean too. So yeah, I think, I mean, it's not necessarily the boldest of predictions after he beats Chris Jericho, former world champion, but I really do think he's going to take a step forward as far as, like, they have those pillars in AEW.
Yeah,
he's going to become one of those pillars.
Yeah,
he's going to be in that position of the Darby Allins, the MJFs. Mm-hmm. He's going to be in that same stratosphere. He may win a title. Maybe the, you know, I don't know.
He might even headline a pay per view with MJF this year.
He might, you know, he headlined a TV taping, so maybe a pay-per-view. Yeah, I think he will definitely take a step forward in his career. Will wind up end up in the world title? I don't know about that, but I think you'll see Ricky Starks as, you know, where you go if you mention the first couple names out of AEW and the top guys they have, he'll be in that conversation before the end of the year, and he'll. It won't be like a, wow, Ricky Starks? But Ricky Starks. You got to mention him type of thing.
You
can't mention the top people in AEW without mentioning Ricky Starks type of thing.
No, and he definitely stood out when the NWA came back with those, like, studio shows a few years ago before the COVID pandemic. You know, he was one of the standouts week to week. And, you know, he was fun to watch. By the way, NWA Power is back on YouTube. First run content every Tuesday. I just love that. I love, like, the studio feel. I don't know why, but
it's
really cool. And you had cool some great, like, Eddie Kingston was even part of that before the pandemic. Like, they just had incredible people part of there. Now it'll be interesting to see who steps up with, you know, current day. But Ricky Starks was always a guy that I was like, man, this guy.
You ready to watch Tyrus as world champion on NWA Power?
I'm absolutely not ready for that. I will actually not watch that at all.
Fair enough.
I think they just came back on YouTube this past Tuesday, so I watched some of that live, but, you know, got to get my way back into it, remind myself that it's on and stuff like that. But, you know, you mentioned AEW. I have kind of like a funny prediction. AEW is going to add another championship. I don't even know what it's called.
Oh,
my God.
It's going
to have another one.
The All-Pacific
Championship. They're not going to take one away. They're going to add one where, you know, they should take, you know, a couple away at least, but... They're going to add one. I don't even know what it's going to be called. The Elite Champion. Why not?
It could, man, I can see that right now. All Elite. Not the All Elite World title, just the Elite Champion.
Like, it would confuse just everybody.
No, All Elite. Right. It's like International Champion and World Champion, like they had in WCW back in the day, right?
Yeah, and this kind of like intertwines with another prediction I had with NXT. They're going to, you know, NXT Europe's going to launch pretty soon. I don't know if we have any update on that, but they're supposed to launch, you know, early 2023. I assume there's going to be a champion for that brand, and they're going to be the European champion. So I'm assuming. I haven't heard anything, but
NXT
why
European
you do that?
Champion, though? Let's go.
Yeah, right? Bring back the old title, too. Like that.
Hell yeah. But just slap an NXT logo on top. Right? Be good. We want that old belt. You know they're not going to make the old belt. They're going to create a new design.
I know. It's
like
be
they did with the Cruiserweight title and stuff like
that. Yeah.
But WWE, we know y'all listen. Just slap an NXT logo at the top of that old European title, baby. The same one that Bulldog had. The same one that Triple H had back in the day. Midian for a little bit. Shane McMahon. X-Pac. all the great European champions in history. You know them all. Matt Hardy, you know, William Regal, Test, you know, all those guys. All the great European champs of all time. D'Lo Brown. How can I forget D'Lo Brown? D-Lo. Come on. D-Lo. Can't forget D'Lo. Can't forget the third best frog splash of all time, D'Lo Brown. So, yeah, just slap the NXT logo on top of that thing and keep it moving. It's easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Don't you have to pay for that. Y'all can do that.
Let's get it out of the warehouse. No money.
Right. There ain't no money. Y'all got that. Just don't mess it up. Just do the right thing, man. You know what we want. I'll be here for that, though. European title. Yes. NXT European Championship. Yes. That'd be dope. That'd be cool. You already got the North American title.
Yeah.
We're going continents here. You might as well go with Europe. That's another continent. Mm-hmm. They got a continental theme.
That's what I'm talking there. About. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm here for it. I'm here for it. I'm going to stick with AEW. Mentioned Ricky Starks. He's going to have a great year. Jade Cargill, she's going to have an up and down year. Because her streak will end in 2023.
Ooh. Oh.
And she will lose the TBS title to somebody.
Mm. Not this Brock Lesnar, though.
Not Brock Lesnar. And we know I would pay to see that match.
Can you imagine? What if that's your Forbidden Door match?
That'd be wild. That'd be wild. Man. You want to band black women together to have a black woman beat up a big white guy. Every black woman will watch. But even though I do have her streak ending and losing the TBS title, I do have her winning the AEW Women's World Championship before the end of 2023. Hmm. I think they could have put the belt on her in 2022. They did not. That's okay. But I think before the end of the year, end the streak, which I don't think is, you give her a loss, she's less impressive. I think it's fine. Well, she's like 49 and 0, something like that. She's in the 40s now. End her streak at some point. When the streak ends, she loses the title. It's the same match, obviously. She's not going to lose a random singles match on Dynamite. It's going to be a TBS title match.
Or Rampage.
She might, if she gets a rematch, she'll unfortunately have to lose that one too. But she eventually, by some way, becomes number one contender for the world title, and she wins the AEW Women's World Championship before the end of the year. I think that is still the best decision AEW can make to really set this division off. You know, Jamie Hayter's dope. Tony Storm, Carl Shida, Saraya, I'm fans of all of them. Ruby Soho, everybody. But get that title on Jade. I think that's the way to go. Do you have any more predictions for 2023, sir?
I agree. And again, this is before Vince announced that he... Well, I guess he didn't technically announce it. It was broken that he wants to come back and be on the board. I wrote... You know, this is what Triple H in charge of creative, and he's doing different things we've seen play out on TV the last few months. And I said, there's a possibility that a third hour of Raw, either the first hour, 8 to 9, or the last hour, 10 to 11, just becomes something different.
Okay.
Now, very vague, right? You know, I don't have any specifics, but if you think back to a few years ago, you had Raw Underground, which seemed like a promising concept when we first heard of it, but it just didn't play out well.
I was never on board with it.
No.
Mainly because I knew Shane, that Shane, and I knew Vince just wasn't going to stick with it.
Right, exactly.
Any amount of time.
Exactly. Vince never sticks with anything except the same old shit. So that's the only thing he sticks with.
Same old nonsense.
So, I think WWE's done a okay job making three-hour Raws not feel like three-hour Nitros from back in the day, but it was kind of like a three-hour weekly wrestling program was just not common, you know? Like, so Nitro, I don't know, you know, they just had jobber matches for even like the first hour and a half, because they just couldn't fill that time. And I think WWE's done a good job in trying to tell stories throughout those three-hour Raws, the last, you know, at least when Triple H took over, but what did they start at, 2011? Like, that's ridiculous. It's been 12 years of three-hour Raws. if not 12, 11, you know, 10, 11 or 12 years, which is just 11, crazy.
Because it started 2012. Yeah, 12, we're going not on 11. Okay.
So that's right, because of CM Punk turning on The Rock. That was like the first real three-hour role. So I don't know, like Triple H, I don't know what it would mean. Like, you still have that hour. So do you make it like something different? Do you do something with the live audience, or do you kind of rebrand an hour? I don't know. But
I don't think it's happening, bro. This three, is a far-fetched one.
I mean,
for me.
Like, it's a, you know, probably
this
my
is more far-fetched
least...
than Brock showing up at Forbidden Door, because there's just too much money at stake. Like,
well, that's
these networks don't
it?
Give a damn about is the quality though? Of the show. I think so. These networks don't give a damn about the quality of the show.
You don't want Raw is they... War from 8 to 9?
Yeah, okay. I mean, look, USA does care about the quality, but they're not as concerned about the quality. Oh, it's tough to watch because it's 3 hours. No, they're really worried about how many people are watching. And even though that number of viewers may go down throughout the show, mainly because it's too long, and that is a thing that's true. But if you rebrand it to something different, people might be like, oh, this ain't Raw. I'm changing the channel. Like, and it might be happening with more people than like the normal amount. I don't know. I just don't see it. I think networks, they like their sure things, even though there are diminishing returns. They like their sure things. They know Raw is going to generate a certain amount of viewers.
And
we paid for that. That's what we paid for. We didn't pay for a different show for an hour. We paid for 3 hours of content, 3 hours of Raw, your flagship show, Monday night, prime time, every week. We didn't pay for 2 hours of one thing and another hour of something else. So that's...
They can bring back Raw Underground. See how that does.
Yeah, okay. If people want to watch cage fighting, they watch UFC. They'd watch MMA. So, I mean,
not a lot of thought in that one, but... you know, 3 hour Raws, they're still like, they're paced better than those Nitros were, but that was over 20 years ago now. So
it's still rough, man. It's still rough.
Yeah.
It's still one of the worst things that's ever happened to the product, the quality of the product, even though I'm sure it was a financial windfall for WWE, right? And it's still making money based off of those 3 hours, because how many networks guarantee 3 hours of primetime television, live television every week? USA Network is, so that's what they're paying for. But the content itself has suffered greatly over the course of the last now 11 years. Now, I don't think USA is that concerned, because if they were that concerned, they would have said, all right, knock it back an hour back in 2018 or whatever, when they were renegotiating for this current deal. They did not. And it was, we were
Maybe they offered that, and Vince was like, and take less money? No, thanks.
Yeah. USA can't offer something and be like, well, we'll give y'all less money for this. Well, okay, we're not starting it. We're not starting with taking a pay cut, USA. I don't think USA cared that much. That's my thing. I don't think USA, well, that was a big deal for USA. I think, like, well, y'all do X amount of viewers. We like that. Here's a Billy. That's a simple and a very stripped down version of these negotiations, in my opinion. Because, again, they did nothing changed. And I would imagine that change, if there was going to be a change, it would have been spearheaded by USA. It was not. Maybe WWE is like, hey, could we possibly knock off an hour? And they're like, hell no. We want want you to take those 3 hours. We don't have to worry about those 3 hours now. That's advertising time. We get all the advertisers in, you know. No, we're not changing that. But I have one last prediction for the year of 2023. And this may seem a little far-fetched now, because it's currently not the case, but I think it can be before the end of the year. I think Ring of Honor will find a television partner before the end of the year. I know they're only on Honor Club now, and they're not in the greatest position as far as, like, clearly they're on Honor Club because they didn't get what they wanted out of a TV deal in 2022, okay? They would not just be on Honor Club just because. But I think producing a product, that's a big deal. Right, get ROH actually off the ground again, and not just have it taking up time on AEW Dynamite and Rampage. So making that brand viable again with weekly shows can help add leverage to AEW's or Tony Khan's case to getting them back on the air. I think that leverage was probably a hard, they probably didn't have that much because AEW was pretty essentially a dead brand in 2022. They went dark, and they didn't have. They've had a couple shows, you know, a couple big shows like what was it, Final Battle, recently, and they had was it Glory by Honor or was Death Before Dishonor? They had one in the fall as well. So they had a couple pay-per-views. They had, you know, obviously the titles being defended, you know, on AEW shows and whatnot. But I guess that wasn't enough to convince a television partner to, you know, jump on board with them. But I think if they start putting together some shows, putting out a product, if it's good, which I, you know, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt right now and say they'll produce a good show. I'll give them that benefit of the doubt today. But if it's good, I can see somebody going, okay, you got something here. There's a little bit of a buzz on social media now. You got how many subscribers? Okay, you sold how many tickets to these shows? So there is an audience here. All right, boom. Because you look at Ring of Honor from before, television partners probably weren't interested in that product like that. Like not like big ones, not like TNTs.
No.
We're talking about, what was it, Comet? It was on, it was syndicated with... Sinclair Broadcasting.
Yep. So I used to get that channel on Xfinity, and then
right, I did too. But clearly, Ring of Honor, as it was, wasn't all that appealing to more prominent television partners. You know, that's not in syndication. That's, you know, either network television or cable television. So yeah, I'm not surprised that it didn't really get a TV partner this time. Even though Tony Khan has already shown that he could take a promotion from the ground up and make it into something like he's done with AEW. But maybe, you know, people still need to see it with Ring of Honor. And I think they'll see something good, see something positive, and they'll at least have, I don't think they'll be on the air maybe in 2023 on somebody's network, but I can see them putting pen to paper for 2024 by the end of 2023. So I'll go with that. They will find a new partner before the end of the year. That's all of my predictions for 2023.
I have, I have one final one, like a real one. I will circle back. One of my predictions was the world titles will be split again, but you know, I kind of covered that one.
Yeah, and I predicted Roman Reigns will lose both titles too.
Yeah, I wrote, but Cody's path to one of the titles won't happen until next year's like WrestleMania build. Now, might that be too long? You know,
that's
possibly
a long time from now, man.
It's long, but. You know, you have Cody, you know, win some mid-card titles, perhaps. I don't know if they would do that. And then maybe kind of like build that bridge to next year. But again, I do think we'll see the world title split in 2023. And my last big one, there is no service in the United States where you could watch old Dynamite episodes. No legal service, I should say.
Mm.
So I feel like you want to go watch the first episode of Dynamite in 2019, you can't unless you circumvent the system. So we're going to finally see, and we better, AEW's video library, perhaps on HBO Max. I know there's a lot of things going on with HBO and Max and that whole Warner, you know, streaming thing. So perhaps not on that platform, but makes the most sense right now in January 2023 that we're going to finally see, even if it's a subscription-based service that AEW starts providing to people in the United States where it's like the WWE Network, but for AEW, where you can rewatch old pay-per-views and old Dynamite episodes and Rampage episodes, at least starting off, maybe not all the pay-per-views, maybe the first like couple years of pay-per-views. I know, you know, they still cost what, $50? So I don't expect them to include, you know, current pay-per-views, but maybe I want to go watch a old Dynamite episode in 2019. You know, I can't do it unless I circumvent the system. So in 2023, I think we're finally going to get a service that allows us to do that from AEW.
The reports of HBO Max being a contender makes sense given that AEW television partner is TBS and TNT, the television partners, I should say. Both of those networks are owned by Warner Brothers Discovery. You know what else is owned by Warner Brothers Discovery? HBO Max.
Oh, how about that?
So that makes sense. That tracks. So I can see that happening. I can see that. I think that would be a big deal for AEW.
I think for one, they need on that. Streaming. I absolutely think they need that.
Yeah, I think it gets you on a streaming platform, which they're not on right now currently, all their on-demand content, and it gets you potentially in front of eyeballs that don't know about you yet. There's a lot of people who got HBO Max.
Right.
More so than WWE Network, by the way.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming more so than Peacock. I can look up the numbers, but I think HBO Max has more subscribers than Peacock. I can look that up real quick. But there's a lot of HBO Max, bro. So that's a lot of people who don't normally watch wrestling. All of a sudden, they're scrolling through their HBO Max and they see AEW. Now, are they going to watch? Maybe, maybe not. But, like, that creates at least some brand awareness.
Right? It's on their screen that they otherwise would not have seen.
Right.
Like, oh, yeah, I remember Hulk Hogan. You know, I remember wrestling. Let me check this out. And they see, like, a CM Punk profanity lace promo or Eddie Kingston or John Moxley. And they're like, oh, this is interesting. Attitude Era is back, baby. You know, you could easily get more fans that way.
I'm looking at the subscriber numbers for Peacock, and they had 18 million at the end of 2022. HBO Max and Q4 of 2021 had 70 million.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
And they're aiming for 150 by 2025. So yeah, like I said, HBO Max has got quite a bit of subscribers. Okay. Let me see here. I'm trying to, you know, just read through some more tidbits here. I mean, they had millions of subscribers before they even, when it was HBO Now, they had 6 million.
Yeah, that was one of them.
You know, so yeah, they got quite a few subscribers on there. They're over 70 million, and they got 46 million in the United States. So over 46 million in the United States. Where, what did I say? Peacock was at 18. So yeah, and that's according to S&P Global, that they have.
Oh, that's not on Wikipedia. Peacock. Oh well.
No. You can't ask. Can't ask Peacock. Can't ask Wikipedia on this one. But paid subscriber count for Peacock, 18 million. This is December of 2022. Okay. But Business of Apps in October 2022 said Business of Apps.com has HBO Max at 70 million. That wasn't the only place I saw that. I was double checking to see if that number was about right. But yeah, 70 million to 18 million. So if AEW were to get on HBO Max, on-demand content, maybe they're on tab like WWE has on Peacock. As far as streaming, they would be open to more eyeballs than WWE. So yeah, that would be a big deal for AEW. Now I don't know.
That's got to be their next step.
It has to be
exposure.
It has to be, because that's huge, right? And I don't know how the machinations will work. I don't know if AEW would get paid. I would imagine they get some type of rights fee for that. I mean, somebody got paid for that, you would think. But I think it's not outside the realm of possibility, given that all parties involved, at least from a network standpoint, are owned by Warner Brothers Discovery. Of course, AEW, you know, owned by Tony Khan. So,
now, but yeah. AEW perhaps would need a new deal, TV rights deal, before agreeing,
I mean,
like, to that. So it's
maybe
possibly,
or
a possibility that happens this year.
I don't know if so. WWE agreed to a new rights deal with NBC when they sold everything to Peacock, though. That could be potentially a separate deal.
Year. That was, I guess, right, the middle of their agreement. So
that was like 2021, yeah, something like that. So it's not outside the realm of possibility, because this is a different type of deal. You know, you do the one deals for live content. This is for on-demand content. Maybe this, right, is a separate deal. I don't know. We're not lawyers. We're not in these negotiation rooms.
Yes, we are.
But it feels like these would be separate deals. So it would be a big deal for AEW if they got on HBO Max. That's for damn sure. But yeah, do you have anything else on 2023? Because I'm fresh out of, you know, fresh out of predictions.
Here, let me count. 1, 2, 3. I got that one. I think, I don't know if I mentioned this. I think Mercedes Moné is going to make an appearance on WWE television in 2023.
That don't sound outrageous to me. So. She's not under contract. She could pop up in the Royal Rumble.
right? Or
not just, win it, obviously, but just be there.
Maybe just an appearance, a promo. I don't know.
Right. Like, or be in the match, wrestle the match, and just leave.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And with Triple H in charge, I feel like that's got the possibility to happen.
Hey, they can always use some depth in the women's rumbles. You know, they're always a little thin as far as depth, and they got to bring in other people from outside, bring back some legends.
They could, I mean, they're having Money in the Bank in London this year. She could even show up there and just be a part of the women's ladder match.
If she doesn't sign anywhere,
right.
And it's possible. Now, look, WWE hasn't always worked with freelancers. I would say that. Independents, you know, true independent contractors, not, you know, rigmarole on paper. but, you know, I don't think they've ever really dealt with that type. They did have Mickie James, was it last year when she was Impact Champ?
Impact Champ, yeah.
And was that a favor that they did? I think that was them returning a favor for something. I can't remember what it was off the top of my head, but
throwing her stuff in a trash bag and sending it to her.
Maybe that was it. Yeah, maybe that was part of it. The make good announced you as the Impact World Champion on WWE television, but usually they don't really work with people who aren't under contract like that. Like they do a one off for like Royal Rumbles, but like. Just to, I don't know, is she in that territory yet? Would they just do the one-off? I guess she could be. But we'll see. It's going to be an interesting year.
You could always plant a seed as well during those one-offs.
Could. So it'll be very interesting to see her journey throughout 2023. Is she going to put out a list like Cody Rhodes did? Like, these are all the people I want to work with type of thing? Yeah. that'd be dope, though, because it could put some
promotion
people...
and then leave it to come back to WWE.
That's
like, wait a second, what?
That's really funny. Get a tattoo on her neck. but it'd be dope if she did do something like that to at least put some people on the map, potentially, that we may not have heard of.
Everyone's going to be paying attention to what she does.
Exactly. She is one of the biggest... She's probably the biggest women's free agent in wrestling in a long time. When was the last time we had a woman garner this much attention... as a free agent for not just, especially because she's leaving WWE and she's just doing whatever. She's not signing with another promotion just yet. She's going to do the world tour, like she said. So she can put out her own little list there and put some people out there and like, oh, I didn't even heard of this person. Okay. I'm going to check that match out now. She could put some people on the map by doing that if she did something like that. At least, obviously, she's going to work with people regardless. She will put people on the map as she goes along. But it could be cool if she did it a little earlier so we can start being like, oh, who is this person? Obviously, promotions announce matches well in advance, but I think it would be cool if she did something similar, but she don't have to. It was Cody's idea. She could do her own thing, obviously. Get creative, obviously. You don't steal somebody else's idea. Like I'm suggesting right now. Go ahead and do what Cody did. Go ahead and do it.
Exactly the same thing.
Just do the same exact thing.
Just copy and paste Cody's photos and just like Photoshop.
Right. Just leave it because he had like his hand on the list too. Like just leave his hand in there. Just Photoshop new names on there. That's funny. Just leave his hand in there and everything. That's a white person's hand. Like, Sasha, she's light skinned, but that's a white person's hand. Like she ain't her. But yeah. If you have no more predictions, I don't. So it sounds like a good time to wrap up the show then.
It does. Those are our 2023 wrestling predictions that all will come true. And we'll come back to this episode and, shove it down.
Pat ourselves in the back.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say shove it down everyone's throat, but I don't want to be that mean. So, yeah, right. Pat ourselves
just
on the back.
Just congratulate yourself.
We won't bring you down. We'll bring you down. We'll bring ourselves up.
Right. Nobody's even doubted us. Everybody might believe us. I told you. Like, I didn't say you couldn't. I didn't doubt you.
Brock Lesnar doesn't show up at Forbidden Door and I get tagged on Twitter like, you idiot.
Back in January, you had said.
Well, bruh.
I don't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday. What you talking about?
Well, by the way, those... New bagel bites at Dunkin' with the egg and bacon in the middle. Not too bad. Not too bad.
Never had it.
Tried
it. I had the pancake sandwich thing they had. Yeah. Didn't like it. Wasn't a fan.
I must have a good Dunkin' around here because they were quite well done.
I think the pancake needed more flavor. That's just me.
Well, they didn't give you a syrup.
They did, but I don't know if it helped that much. But
Gotcha.
Everything else from Dunkin' Donuts, I'm on board with, though. Oh, in yeah. case you don't want to sponsor oh, yeah. us, Dunkin' there Donuts. We we'll take or Dunkin'. It's just Dunkin'. You gotta say the gotta say the brand right if you're gonna get that sponsorship money up. But Nick, please take us out with some plugs.
You can follow us at The Shooters Pod on Twitter and on Facebook at facebook.com/TheShootersPod. You can follow me at _Pacone on Twitter and check out my stuff at PhillyInfluencer.com and FoxPHLGambler.com.
You can follow me on Twitter at Vaughn M. Johnson. You can follow my professional tweets at Philly Inquirer, some of my writing at Inquirer.com. Make sure to follow our sports Instagram account too, Philly Inc. Sports on IG. I've started the account, started it from the ground up, so check us out there. I don't know why I haven't promoted the account on here sooner, but I'm going to do it today at Philly Inc. Sports on Instagram. Go check us out. Doing a lot of good work over there on sports Instagram. I'm a little biased when I say that, but it's true. It's still true. You can check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/TheShootersPod. I'm going to request a future deep dive. We will return to do deep dives next week, Royal Rumble 97. Ooh. I've already watched it. I did a lot of research for it. We're going to talk all about it. Can't wait to talk about the Alamo Dome. Ooh. And why San Antonio doesn't have an NFL team in that big-ass stadium that they built down there. So we're going to talk all about it next week.
You know what? We did a live commentary a few years ago. We'll have our deep dive. And then also next week, I will repost our live commentary of the Royal Rumble match with audio included in the background. Yeah. So you don't have to necessarily be watching the match to follow along with us. You'll hear the audio in the background. So
should be a lot of fun. Should be a lot of fun. But yeah, we're going to get back to deep dives. But in the meantime, go on to patreon.com/TheShootersPod. Put it in a request. We will fulfill it. And we will fulfill it. But once we do fulfill it, we'll invite you onto the show to make a cameo and talk about the content that we're diving deep into. Again, patreon.com/TheShootersPod. But until next time, for Nick Pacone, I am Vaughn Johnson. Thanks for listening to The Straight Shooters, available wherever podcasts are found. And we'll catch y'all again next week.
Listen to The Straight Shooters. This Donnie Wahlberg from WrestleMania 10. And you listening to Vaughn Johnson and Nick Pacone at The Straight Shooters, y'all.